Well, it is time for our biblical worldview question of the week. Kelly, do you know what it is?
Yes, I do.
You do? Do you know who's on the line with us right now?
I do.
You do?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Are you expecting me to tell everybody?
I am.
Well, okay, then. Our question is, how can I trust God's faithfulness in times of trouble, with Nancy Fitzgerald from Anchors Away, a biblical worldview ministry based in Carmel that helps our young people learn how to stand firm on their faith so they are not drawn away from it once it's challenged and they head away to college. Hi, Nancy.
How are you two today?
Well, we're good, all things considered. We got a couple of hours of freedom before, the stay in place goes into effect. So who knows what's going to happen?
It's going to be hard for him. He's all free range, you know.
Yeah, I am.
I know. Who knows? God knows. That's for sure. And I think that's why this question today is trusting God's faithfulness. You know, I heard on the news all of our kids live in Colorado, and they called to say that the governor's answer to anxiety for the Coloradoans, if that's what you call them, is to open all the liquor stores and all the marijuana venues or wherever they sell this stuff to calm nerves. And there again, we see the world's answer to something that simply will not give them what they're looking for. And I don't think anybody can minimize the uncertainty of today. It's scary. It's, you know, not knowing the future and seeing people die, you know, by the hundreds is can be terrifying for some. But I really think that in the midst of uncertainty, we just need to calm down and take a bigger look at really what's going on. You know, we have all, if you're a Christian, you've hyped up hopefully your prayers for your country, the president, those who are making decisions, our family and friends and neighbors, you know, with little security that everything is going to be okay. We just don't know what is happening. But I think often of C.S. Lewis, where he asserted that pain is God's megaphone to rouse the deaf world. And according, as you read on, he says one way God gets our attention through pain is that we become humbled and less self-sufficient. And I think we need to listen to those words as we battle with this thing. And we see that the world has drifted so far away from God that they're not running, you know, into the churches. Well, they can't now. But this is an issue with high suicide rates now, high anxiety, and we're going to keep on watching this grow. Because when we trust in ourselves during times of trouble, we cannot ever solve anything. Alcohol and marijuana and drugs do not solve anything long term. It might be a temporary moment fix. But I think the reason why this question is so important is that understanding and trusting the faithfulness of God can give us that peace that we couldn't even imagine. And Hebrews talks about faithfulness, meaning that steadfastness, that firmness, that fidelity, that God is faithful. He's going to stand firm, and he's not going to budge on his faithfulness. He can never be anything but faithful to us, and that should be a great comfort to us. Lamentations 3, I love this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his passions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, you almost hear that hymn being sung, it's so amazing. In Psalm 119, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. And I hear this, and I think we need to understand that God's faithfulness always has been, and it's because of his faithfulness and his love for us that that we can rely on him through his son, Jesus. And I think one of the greatest, if not the greatest, historical example found in the scriptures concerning God's faithfulness is the covenant that God made with Abraham 2,000 years before Christ. And this is just such an amazing story, and I love it because this is like the meta-narrative of all of the Old Testament. It's God saying, listen, I know you've messed up, but I am sending a Savior. I am sending a Savior to you. And just briefly, the Abrahamic covenant is an actual covenant that's found in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, where God promises to Abraham, he promises land, and he promises descendants greater than all the stars in the sky. And he includes in that proclamation the seed, the coming of the seed, which is Jesus. And this is such an amazing thing. Later in Genesis 15, he seals the covenant with Abraham, and he says, Abraham, go get the animals, and he did, in traditional covenant sense, and he cut them in half, dug a trough, and pooled the blood from the animals, and then God, symbolized by a torch, went through the blood of the sacrificed animals, which was meaning that he promised to Abraham that if what he promised to Abraham about the land and the coming descendants, including the Messiah, if it was not true, if it did not happen, then Abraham could do to him what Abraham did to the animals. It's like, oh my goodness, that God was saying, if I'm not faithful to you, you can cut me up, you can destroy me. I mean, this thing is serious. A covenant is very, very serious. And now it was Abraham's turn to walk through the blood of the sacrificed animals. That's what you do in covenant, and in a unilateral covenant where both of them would walk through. But when Abraham was going to walk through, it symbolized that the descendants would promise to follow God and not sin. And if mankind sinned, then God would do to Abraham what he did to the animals. And this is something. So Abraham was saying, okay, I'm going to walk through here and promise you that mankind now and following me will not sin. And Abraham was horrified because he knew no way that would happen, and he didn't want to be cut to bits like he cut the animals. And, you know, the most beautiful thing is that because of God's grace, because of his faithfulness, God put Abraham in a stupor so he would not have to walk that path. And as symbolized by a smoking pot, God walked that path for him. And this is amazing because it meant that if man sinned, God would have done to him what was done to the animals. Well, so if man sinned, he was promising Abraham, I will pay the ultimate price. I will allow myself to be cut to bits.
Well, God proved his faithfulness, though, right?
Amazing.
Through the birth of Christ, he proved that. He proved his faithfulness to Abraham and to each one of us with the birth of Christ, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was 2,000 years later. So we see him making sure that bloodline and the Messiah stayed alive and stayed well because he promised he is faithful. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that happened? Over 2,000 years later, God made good to Abraham and to all his descendants. That would be us. When he was beaten, his skin was literally ripped to pieces, and he was crucified to pay the ultimate price. And, you know, that should be so encouraging to us because there had to be generations, don't you agree, that were wondering where God was. Mm-hmm. Who's going to save us of this mess? And they didn't see it. They didn't feel it. But God knew it, and God was faithful. And it's that's the God that we worship. It is just mind-blowing to think of our God being so faithful here.
But he's faithful without fail. There's no way. I mean, we talk about that on the air all the time. He cannot possibly fail us. It's not even in his character.
No, and we see it all over, not only in that, but, you know, Kelly, we've talked before about prophecies in the scripture, 48 of them about the Messiah, his son. And the odds of one man fulfilling all those prophecies is something that man can't even think of. But, you know, those prophecies range from predicting where Jesus would be born, the money of the Judas Iscariot would be paid for betraying Jesus, even the donkey he would ride, the arrest, the trials, and all the that. Included in those was Psalm 22:16, the details of how Christ would die by piercing his hands and feet. And that was long before crucifixion what had even come into place. And again, why? Because God is faithful to his word. He knows all things from the beginning to the end. He loves us. But trust me, there's purpose to what we're all going through now. It's interesting. Last night I was listening to Robbie Zacharias, and he said this: the foundation on which you build your life is the only thing that will stand when the storms of life ultimately come, and they will come. It's not a question of if, but when. He spoke this just before the coronavirus came out, which I think is interesting, his timing. But again, I think, what are we standing on? If our life stands on, you know, how popular we are or how rich we are, and all of a sudden the stock market goes down and we have nothing and we're panicking and we need liquor and we need marijuana to keep us going, we have to call ourselves to question.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, too, Deuteronomy 7:9, I love this. Understand, therefore, that your Lord, your God, is God indeed. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for thousands of generations. Listen to this. And lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. And I don't you love that through thousands of generations? It's, you cannot snuff out the love and faithfulness of God.
Mm-mm.
Well, and for him to have taken that covenant upon himself, that was it was not a bilateral covenant. It was unilateral. He made that covenant with Abraham. Only God could keep that covenant, and he has. And he has proved his faithfulness all through the ages, even to this day. And Nancy, we are so grateful for this question because it comes at such an important time. How do we put our trust in God's faithfulness in times of trouble?
Mm-hmm. Nancy, this has been so great this morning. Thanks for joining us to talk about this. I mean, it could not possibly be any more timely. So I hope all of you have been encouraged by it. We want to get you connected with Nancy, too, and look into the biblical worldview curriculum that she has at anchorsaway.org, or you can simply click on the resources tab at kellyandsteve.org.